Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the payment of bills from the March 23rd and the April 11th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
Carried. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Public comment. Diana Toyas.
Do you want to read the minutes?
Rules?
I want to read the rules.
Okay. Members of the public are required to sign in before the meeting if they wish to speak. Speakers must address the entire board. They may not direct questions to a particular board member. The village board will only hear members of the public during the public comment portion of the meeting, never during old or new business unless requested by a board member. Each speaker may speak up to 5 minutes once per meeting. Speakers should address the board only as business relevant to the board. Bringing up an issue does not mean or imply that the board will act on that issue immediately or at all. Speakers shall observe commonly accepted rules of courtesy, decorum, and good taste. Speakers will address comments to the board only and not engage other members of the public.
Thank you. You're up.
So, 72. I came in to speak with the clerk here about garbage cleanup because I do it as a volunteer on my own time. I clean up garbage in the community that I simply just wanted a waiver so I wouldn't actually also have to pay to have it taken away by DPW on top of the fact that I'm just doing this as a free volunteer service. So I simply just asked how it would come to be that I could have it just picked up, okay? Because I want to keep that to my home. So how it was handled basically is that the clerk decided on her own between a conversation and Dave Sider here and Larry Ostrander, is that somebody that's here? Okay, who I understand that it's not even the proper route for addressing a concern from me, so I don't appreciate it happening that way because from my understanding, there has to be consensus among the board to make a decision, not isolated people's opinions who don't have the actual authority to make the decision, and I don't appreciate that. So I wanted to note that her response was that me cleaning up litter around the community would set a precedent, those were the words, to set a precedent, I suppose, for people to continue to throw trash or whatever. However, my response is that may be part of the issue. However, as I live uphill, I know for sure that garbage and recycling does blow downhill and it blows onto other people's property. And I think also that the precedence that I'm trying to set is that some people actually care. Even if the people are not taking care of their own properties, it gives them a little motivation to keep it a little nicer. Some of the people were outside of their homes when I cleaned up, and I've actually even asked them, is it okay if I come up more onto their property, and they've permitted me to do that, and I clean it up. And now when I drive along the road, okay, it gives me a good feeling to see a lot less trash, okay? It makes me feel a lot better. I'm sure it makes them feel better. And I know for sure that when people live in a slummy area, they're more likely to not put in as much effort if they're already feeling down in the dumps, okay? So originally my request is simply that if I do this out of my own time, I just simply do not, out of principle, want to have to pay a $3 sticker fee because I don't feel like it's appropriate or fair that I should have to do that on top of it. And I'm not bringing it back to my home. So if I've done this in other towns and cities over many years, never had an issue, okay? So I just leave it somewhere and somebody can come pick it up on their route, okay? It's that simple. I'm not looking to take advantage or for my own like garbage, like getting a free pass or something for my own garbage. It's like one bag, you know, every couple weeks or so when I feel like doing it, I do the garbage that falls on the border between here and Claverick, and gentleman who owns property across the street says that I can use his garbage because he has, perhaps he has a dumpster or something on, in his home or whatever, so I do that for there. But I cannot, you know, obviously bring other trash to his home as well. So I just leave it at the ends of his driveway, because this is another person I saw out cleaning up garbage and I volunteered to help him. I know I'm not the only person who cares about that kind of thing, but I happen to have time and the willingness to do it. So that's what I'm just asking to consider, that that I can just leave a bag of garbage somewhere, maybe next to another public waste receptacle, mm-hmm. on a certain day, perhaps, if it's a garbage day or something, so it's not such an inconvenience to anybody, okay? It's such a simple thing if you're already picking up the garbage, okay? That's all I'm asking.
It has to be a little bit more organized than what you're doing. But in the past, you're not the first one to do this. In the past, we've had one of our former residents, Karen Graflo. She used to sponsor a thing where they got bags and they went out, and we set it up with David. So, or the former.
Can you please introduce yourself to me?
I'm Brian Johnson. I'm the mayor.
Okay.
We set it up with the DPW, so they go out.
So, and, do you make this decision on your own? I'm asking if
yes.
this is the official way that it's done.
Yes.
You alone make the decision?
No, the board does.
Okay. This is your opinion, and if they agree, which it seems like likely they will, but I just want to do things properly.
And we'll talk it over at a workshop, but you're going to have to give us some kind of a schedule so we know when to pick it up.
As I said, if I know that garbage is picked up on a specific day, like for me it's Tuesday morning, I will just leave it next to the public receptacle on a Tuesday, like one bag. I don't feel like this has to be something that needs to be so complicated.
When you're
it's just me one person.
It does. When you're dealing with taxpayer money, which garbage is taxpayer money.
$3?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It has to be organized. Because we are responsible. We are solely responsible. Us five up here are responsible for taxpayer money. And we're not just going to give things away. We can't, by law, give things away. It has to be organized, has to be recognized, and we'll talk it over at the workshop. And
so when you say organized and recognized, I mean, what do you... You just want it done on a certain day, and you want to see
we have to,
that
we have to get together with the DPW, so we know what's going on. We'll get together, we'll talk it over to board, as a board, at a workshop. You're more than welcome to come to that workshop to hear us talk, and we'll get you an answer.
Okay, and how will I know when you're going to do it?
When
you said I can
work.
Attend the workshop, so
yeah.
Is it going to be
just always the second Wednesday of the month?
So it'll be the next workshop?
Fourth Wednesday, sorry.
And all the information is on the website, too.
So you're saying it's going to be on the next workshop?
We are going to discuss your proposal at the next workshop, yes. We also have, we're going to do the sexual, or the... workplace violence at the next workshop also. Mm-hmm. So
maybe we should say it'll be the next, either this month or next month?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add out of consideration, if you're going to bring it up and make it more complicated, where it's not just like a yes or no. There's so many young adults, young teenagers in the community, as everybody obviously sees, okay, with so little to do. But when they overwhelm, as everyone probably knows, to make plans with the free sandwiches. They wanted sandwiches that were not free. And so I donated $50 to the group of kids if they would clean the garbage up around that immediate neighborhood. And I will tell you something, they jumped at the opportunity to do it. There was no hesitation. They were very willing and eager. So if you're going to do it and go above and beyond and make this complicated in a workshop, I would consider putting some of these young people to work in exchange at their underworking age for a gift certificate for food, okay, or something like that. They would do it. They would actually do it. They want to do it. Clean up the trash at the park, whatever it is, okay? Because, like I said, I mean, they were like, yeah, they were excited. And I offered them gloves to pick it up, and they were like, don't worry, we don't even care, okay? So I would offer that to consider, please.
Okay. Karen, you're up.
Oh, sorry. Hi, I am here because I heard that there may be some conversation about regulations on Airbnb. I didn't know if that was on the agenda today or a pop-up or anything like that.
No.
Okay.
It's not on the agenda.
For tonight.
For tonight.
Not on the agenda for tonight.
No.
Okay.
But yes. it would be a good time to voice.
You have some concerns,
yeah.
Or
I do. Yeah. I just have a few comments.
Sure.
So
before you start,
oh, yes, sir.
I was planning on doing a special meeting on that on
okay.
May 4th.
So, May 4th is Thursday.
It's a Wednesday.
I am out of town on a
Then it's good that you're here, so we can hear. Because I want to bring that for a public hearing at the next board meeting, 6:30.
And the June meeting?
May 9th.
We've got to come up with a version, refer it to county planning, give them 30 days to review it, because this is only change. So you need at least 2 months lead time on that.
So at the June meeting, we're going to bring it up for a public hearing?
That could work.
Because we can straighten it out. I mean, it's pretty much done, right, Deborah?
Yeah, I think
so. It's pretty much done.
Yeah, I went through a review. I did get to it.
Yeah.
I can give you a report later on any concerns or issues I had, but yeah.
All right. So
okay.
What are your concerns, Karen?
So if I understand it correctly, the village is looking to put a regulation on Airbnb where it would only allow for owner-occupied individuals. Then that can be proven by the star to prove that they are owner-occupied in the village. My suggestion is that perhaps you consider established businesses as a A-1. And then if that may not be considered, then perhaps if you have rental properties, A-2, maybe 50% could possibly be Airbnb, while the other 50% offers full-time housing. I understand, obviously, I'm a realtor, that there is housing shortages. A lot of it is population is booming. A lot of it is, you know, new construction has stopped. It's not just the Airbnbs coming in that are preventing new construction to come forward.
Can I ask a clarifying question? 50%,
yeah.
What is it, 50%? I don't understand that.
So, so if you have a two-family,
okay.
Then maybe one could be an Airbnb and the other one has to be.
I see. Okay.
Can't be.
Okay.
And I understand that too.
Gotcha.
But maybe, so if you have like a four family,
okay.
Maybe a four family would be 25%.
Okay.
You know, A2-B.
Yep.
You know, 25% would be an Airbnb, the other three has to be housing.
Yep.
I just think that it would be unfair to limit it only to individuals with STAR program, because if they have a single family, are they going to Airbnb because they decide to go to Rome for 3 months? I mean, that's silly. And established businesses will also keep boots on the ground, which we know that there is a lot of controversial about absentee owners and Airbnbs, but when you have a an owner that is present, there is not issues. I think that's really all I'm asking the board to consider.
Can
yes,
I, just a clarifying question, Karen. So when you're saying for all rental properties, you don't mean owned by Philmont residents, you mean all rental properties, whether they're owned by outside developers or anybody who lives outside the village?
Established businesses. So if
established
you have,
businesses, so not rental properties, but established
if you
businesses.
Have a rental property, perhaps A1 could be an established business instead of just owner-occupied. If you do have investors that are coming in, A1-2 could be a quarter or 50% only.
So you're
Airbnb.
Saying, don't restrict it to Philmont residents.
No, I'm saying don't restrict it to only owner-occupied residences. because it's if that's my understanding, and, it, so and if it's Philmont... not, then I'm speaking in vain, but I understood it that Airbnb would only be allowed if you are an owner-occupied, proven by a store.
No, not the exemption. It's not, that's one way of identifying who, you know, it's not the only, it has to be that way.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get clear on what you're asking for. I understand that you're asking for established, for Philmont residents plus established businesses
right.
to be able to Airbnb.
High Falls, the owner of High Falls could rent out the upstairs as an Airbnb because they have a business downstairs.
Correct. Or like Purpose Cowork, if there is apartments up there, if there's two apartments above Purpose Cowork, maybe if the owner wanted to Airbnb, which you would put, you know, there has to be boots on the ground for Airbnb. I 100% believe that. And I also 100% believe that Airbnbs need to be regulated because they're not. So just like rentals and everything else, there needs to be regulation for that. But so if Purpose Cowork, that is an established business, there's boots on the ground there. So if the owner of that wanted to make one of the two apartments, let's say, an Airbnb, they should also be allowed to do that instead of just because
a long-term
if the owner happens to be an investor, but there is an established business there, somebody that could call the investor and say, yo, dude, we got a big problem here. You know what I mean?
Okay, so then when you said, I see, okay. So when you said, so established businesses either be allowed to Airbnb or they be allowed to do a 50-50.
Yeah, or I understand. If there's four
okay.
units, 25, rent. You know, one unit out of the four. Or if it's a two family, then one unit out of the two. If it's a three family, then it would be a third. One unit out of the other two. If the village really wants to keep the rentals a solid rental. Because I do understand housing. You know, I do understand that. I also, on the flip side, understand what it's like to have a horrible tenant that you can't get out, that destroys everything and makes it difficult for landlords as well. So, you know, to have Airbnb regulated would not be such a horrible thing, just not, boom, owner-occupied only.
And why do you think it should be that way? Because the moves we're making are trying, and I don't know, I'm with you, I'm riding this train with you. The rules we're making now, or the regulations, are to protect housing in Philmont and to serve those who live here now. How does who does yours serve? I guess what I'm asking.
So Airbnb brings in tourism, which is a huge part of Columbia County.
Okay.
Airbnb supports the local market. When they come to town, they are going to the Purpose, they're going to the co-op, they're going to the restaurants for dinner. They're, you know, there's really not too many.
So increased tourism is what you would say.
Tourism. Not just that, but it gets them familiar with the area, and then ultimately they come back and buy into the area. So, people use Airbnb as a means of, number one, an affordable way to travel, because let's face it, you can pay $500 for a hotel. I don't know, there's no hotels in the village right now. So you go to Hudson and pay $600 a night, or you can get an Airbnb that is $100 or $200 a night. It's an affordable way for people to come into the area, to travel, see the area, and then ultimately buy.
Tourism.
So I guess
and that, ownership.
I guess,
and potential ownership. Yes, ma'am.
So, Jason, I think, it's good. So that's, that's what we are enumerating, like the benefits of the Airbnb. And then on the, the other side, and I guess it's a question of the vision for the board and for the future of the village, is where our priorities are in terms of, ensuring the best affordable price for rentals and homes in the community, and finding the balance between that and not discouraging tourism. So that's sort of what we'll be
Or someone, like, if you had the upstairs, do you have the upstairs there on your...
At my office?
Yeah.
I do. I have two upstairs.
And you can rent those out?
Yeah.
So if you didn't live in the village, then you couldn't rent those out?
Correct.
As Airbnb.
Correct.
So now I see...
She'd have to long-term rent it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And provide housing.
You can't short-term rent it. So
right.
You're not going to make a ton of money off the village of Philmont without us getting...
Sure. Sure. No, I mean, and safe, and there's a lot of other things.
And Deborah, I know you mentioned affordable rentals.
It's got to be a bill.
Affordable rentals and...
Yeah, so I can kind of offset that a little bit and say, yeah, affordable rentals are there as long as the landlord brings in enough money to afford the mortgage payments, the utilities, the taxes, the, you know, maintenance. So as mortgage rates increase, which we all know 30-year is probably near 5% now, as fuel prices increase, which we know last year was $2.65, this year it's $5, all that is reflecting in affordable housing. So having an apartment for rent doesn't necessarily mean you can still offer, you know, $600 a month. The landlord may not be able to afford to keep the lights on at that price, so...
Right, but
yeah,
but the overall effect of Airbnb is to drive up rental.
Aaron, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If you have an opinion, anyway. There's Airbnbs in the village where they're not owner-occupied, the owners don't live in the village, and they're single-family homes. What would you think we should do with that?
Okay, can you just tell me the question again?
Just if you have an opinion on... We have Airbnbs in the village now.
Okay.
Who are owned, they're single family homes.
Okay.
And they're owned by people that don't live in the village.
Okay. So do they have boots on the ground?
No.
Well, then maybe that might be an exception. Maybe you might need to say 2-B, if you don't have boots on the ground or a management property, a manager, then you can't do it. And your manager has to be
Manager's
filed
there,
with the board.
I don't know. Is manager in there, Deb?
In the rental registry, we require that there be a phone number and a contact.
No, in that.
And also in this as well.
In that one, there is language in there about having somebody within...
so many miles.
Yeah.
So many, And if you don't have that, you should not.
Well, first of all, someone who owns property should
never have that unmanaged. It's too big of an asset and too big of an expense to bring it back up if it fails.
All right, so at the May 4th meeting, we can discuss all this.
Okay.
And then I should have asked you guys if it was already had one on May 4th, but that seems like when it's going to be right now.
May 4th.
It's the Wednesday before our board meeting.
And yes, I know Airbnbs do eventually increase the value of houses, but houses that increase in value, increase in assessment, increase in revenue, and also assist with the social welfare programs and all the other taxes that go out there. So it's inevitable that values are going to increase, but keep in mind that real estate is a market, and we have seen the market increase, and then we have seen it drop back down again. It's like a stock market. So...
All right.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, you're very welcome. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate your time. Have a good night.
Reports of committees. Mr. Fitzsimmons.
No, Peter, you sent me an email, but you didn't ask to sign up. Just asked about the taxes and these running reports.
Alright.
No, that's okay.
We got 5 minutes for him though.
Yeah, but that's why I didn't have you written down.
Bring it on.
Well, I found this conversation fascinating for the implications. Ms. Troya is on to something I think important, because when you look at what's going on, clearly, there are properties that remain trashed. I happen to do some help for an elderly person with 7 Canal. 5 Canal and 7 Canal could be condemned as major trash dumps. And as this lady in her 90s said, oh, been like this for years. But going to the Airbnb, may I recommend, I don't know any of the deliberations on this, that there be a bed tax, a Philmont bed tax on Airbnbs, and it would be a way to gather in some revenues that will cover some of the extra costs for the trash that's generated and so forth. But my real concern here is looking at the budget worksheet that I printed off from the website for the actuals through February and then the adopted budget. I'm wondering in this revenue stream, where are the entries, what are the numbers for the rental registration fee and the rental registration inspection?
That all goes on to the building inspector.
Right, that's the one that we're breaking out going forward.
Yeah.
So, Bill, I see in the expense side, building inspector personnel, 25,000. I see building inspector equipment and capital, 700. Is that 700 part of the famous software? Has anyone ever seen a result from the software?
He uses it to, he's got all the apartments listed on the software. I haven't sat down with him to find out exactly what his glitch is with that, but he's been working on it. And we have been working on another helper for him. Trish and I have been in contact with one of the local building inspectors around. It doesn't seem to be panning out because she thinks it's going to be too much work, but there is one more gentleman before we put it out in the papers that I'm going to call and ask and talk to this week. Like I told you last meeting, we're going to get it straightened out. It's going to take time, and we will get it underway.
While your fiscal year closes at the end of May. Right?
Yes.
Will you be able, or will this individual be able to produce a report that tells you how many units have been inspected, how many have required a re-inspection?
Once Lee gets him or her up to speed on software, I believe all that's going to be generated. The new person that we're going to bring in is going to do nothing but rental properties and vacant buildings. That's their sole job. Lee is going to take care of the building aspect, and the new person is going to take care of just rental properties.
Okay, so then
that's why the building inspector's budget was $25,000, because we have enough money in there to pay the second person.
Right, the increase. I'm looking at the revenue side, and as Trish said, it's going to be broken out, the revenue side, but I'm just wondering what type of revenue did you anticipate coming from the registration as well as coming from the inspections, because you have both adopted and actuals. Mm-hmm. So what do you anticipate for next fiscal year from those two sources?
I don't think we anticipated a lot, because we don't know how it's going to go. Once we go through a year with it, then we'll be able to better judge it.
So you don't have enough data currently.
Correct.
To be able to make any projection.
Correct.
And the program's been going on now about a year since that ordinance was approved?
Just about, yep. Yeah.
And there isn't enough data
here. No, there's not.
Okay. Tough to work without data.
We're doing the best we can.
Right.
I'm telling you that right now. It's not something that we've left on the back burner or forgot about. We talk about it at least once a month. And like I said, Trish and I have been trying. Everybody's been trying. It'll happen.
Well, thank you for the efforts, and we'll keep at it.
Tom, you got anything to say?
I'm afraid to say anything. We're gonna have to leave, but if there's anything about light bulbs while I'm here.
We're good.
Anything else you need to know about light bulbs?
No, I told Deborah I'm off work tomorrow, but I'll get on it Wednesday.
Okay.
I had a question on the light bulbs. If I, and maybe you're the person to ask, I'm not sure, but would the village be able to use them? For example, there's about 30 incandescent lights in the community center. Can we switch them out with the LEDs? Or is that not something the village should do?
Well, it's a program that's supposed to be open to everyone. And we were still in discussion, and we were discussing that it would be limited to four. But that was considering that we're dealing with residences. So I guess what you're saying is the village has no budget to change out those light bulbs.
We could, but if three, that's even better.
30 times 10 is what, three? Yeah.
But I have a thought. If we achieve bronze status, don't we get another grant?
Yeah.
And could we allocate some of that?
I thought that community center building was our next target building. Once the sewer plant was done, we were going to find a way to do the community center. Did I misunderstand that?
No, that's what we think. We were using the sewer, as an example,
right.
And then to do that to other buildings, but that had a grant.
Yep.
And we were going to use, if we had extra money, we were going to put it toward the community center, but we used all the whole 35.
Yes, we did.
Right.
Why don't we do this building next? The lights are on in here a lot more than they are in the community center.
I mean, this was something we considered putting that money toward.
Upstairs and downstairs.
You know, we talked about how it's more than just a replacement of the bulbs.
This is a lot bigger project than the community center, something we can get done.
Well, I mean, if it can happen, then just tell me, and I'll just personally change all the bulbs.
So the question is, will the library then come up and say, look, we want to change all the bulbs in the library?
I mean, I think a goal should be for our municipality, a climate smart goal should be to move all of our municipal
bulbs just screw in.
Yeah, but we can't.
And that's what the community center has.
Right.
Right. And so does the library. So.
Oh, they do? I thought they had
some of them are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just a matter of buying new bulbs. You don't have to change the ballast out or anything like that. So,
right.
I mean, what's a bulb cost? $4 times 30, $120. Boom, it's done.
Right. So the purpose of the program was to educate people. And in Philmont, since 60% of the population are renters, and most of them pay their own energy bill. So it was to introduce them to this concept and hopefully go further, maybe change out the thermostat, maybe do other things.
Yeah.
But this was the first, the intent was to get the renters involved. So I just hesitate to see all the light bulbs go to the municipality.
That's good.
But if we have extra, can we bring it up again?
Certainly.
Okay.
Just give me a call.
I'll see if I can get 1,030.
That'd be great. Also, Larry, just so you know, we have our Climate Smart meeting on Thursday afternoon, so it might be too short to get info, but just put that on your radar.
All right, now we can go to directors and committees. Mr. Fitzsimmons.
As the board knows, there are quite a few trustees there. The Woods Planning Board project is still ongoing. They have a boundary line adjustment component now that we'll be dealing with. I was contacted by the developers for the new Pine Haven center over there. They've been delayed due to all sorts of reasons, COVID related, supply chain, all sorts of things. They're still going forward with that project. They've made a request on the payment for the connection to the water sewer that we should probably discuss in executive session. We have an agreement with them.
Okay.
And I did do the get to the short-term rental review, and I have some comments on that, but I believe we can tackle them. I'll email them to trustees so you have them ahead of time, and then we can discuss it at the May 5th special meeting.
Yeah, I understand. I have an email address now.
Yep.
What if it Mayor at Philmont?
I don't know what it is. I don't even know what it is.
MayorPhilmont.org.
I'll send you lots of spam.
Also, aren't we going to have, Brian, is the special meeting just for us to talk about the
rental registry?
Rental registry.
And that's not in lieu of the regular workshop. That's just an.
No, the regular workshop's going to be.
The training.
Workplace violence.
Okay.
All right. You got anything else?
No, sir. That's it.
Clerk Treasurer's report.
Water bills were mailed out on March 31st and are due through the end of April with no penalty. Delinquent tax notices for current and prior years were mailed on April 6th. The total amount due is $65,971.20, with $13,906 being owed for current year and $52,000 owed for prior years. The annual organizational meeting and budget hearing were held on April 1st. The new budget was approved. The office is currently working on the tax rolls to submit to the county, which are due to them by May 1st. Village taxes will go out at the end of May. Met with Rich Nesbitt regarding insurance for the village in the upcoming year. We've submitted quite a few hours chasing invoices that were not sent directly to the clerk's office. I've been working closely with two solar providers, Sunlight General and GMS, on resolving issues with the solar accounts, and the office will be closed on Friday, April 15th, in observance of holiday.
All right, thank you.
Trish, that number, the outstanding dollars on taxes, is that up, down, or is that about average what we run?
That's about where we've been for quite a while. We're down a little bit. Probably about a couple thousand, but that's about it.
So COVID didn't really affect that?
It's all the normal people who don't pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just get moved back, you know.
Right.
Library?
Toby's not here today, so I'll cover that. Still waiting on insurance money for the accident that happened there. Seed Library is going to begin soon. As you can see, there's an awful lot of workshops, evenings at the park. Thursday field trips, we just wrote a grant for them. Toby and I both did it. It's a $10,000 grant for those five events. And people tell me that there are nothing going on for kids here between Julia's and Doug and this stuff. Seems like we have an awful lot of stuff happening this summer. So I'm really happy with this. So I just want to thank Toby and go get some of your museum passes from the library, because you can go to any museum in the area for free just about. So that's it.
Community Center.
Okay, Community Center report for Mark. The facility was checked regularly during the month. Programs, Greener Pathways, the Cub Scouts, and Scout leaders used the center for meetings. Girl Scouts too, I believe. Private parties were held and booked for April. The last party that Julie looked on was amazing. The hall was beautifully decorated. The kitchen area was in full use. People of all ages were having a really great time. So nice, the hall is being used by our village families. Programs for April. April 9th was the birdhouse building program. April 18th is a ceramics program taught by Jess Cropperall. April 23rd, New York State Safe Boating class is being taught by Julie and myself. The new program presenters are always welcome. Share your knowledge and skills. Julie would like it if people contacted her and proposed ideas for more programs. She's there to facilitate that happening, but that's what happened like with Jess. Jess decided it'd be nice to teach some ceramics there. So other people that have ideas, please put them forward. A safe boating class, don't forget if you're a boater who is on the water in any kind of powered vessel, that you're going to need that class no matter how old you are by 2025. And that class is free. It's sponsored by the village as well as the Hudson River Historic Boat Restoration Society and the Rod and Gun Club too helps with that. So that's it.
Vern?
We had 15 calls for service. 90 property checks, issued 12 UTTs and 23 UTT warnings. were pretty empty. I can elaborate on this past weekend's events if you all like.
Yep.
So obviously everyone's well aware.
You're broadcast.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We teamed up New York State Police, well, it's just New York statewide distracted driver. So we decided to team up with the state police here in the village. As you're aware, pretty productive on Saturday. Issued 10 tickets on Saturday, combined both agencies. Sunday being actually more productive, 17 UTTs and 2 DWI arrests.
Wow. Daytime. I went through it. It was every day.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and the
all
second
right,
one being.
I started a little bit earlier, right?
Yeah.
You apparently.
Second one being, you know, aggravated.
Wow.
Very productive. I mean, you know, given the time of day, very receptive, a little challenging. You know, we talked to Justin. You know, we didn't want to impede on that. That's what was done earlier throughout the day. But there was other things that came out of it that were very productive. That, you know, afterwards. But overall, you know, it was great. I followed up today with the major from State Police. Very, you know, pleased with, you know, with the whole outcome, and, you know, as we are as well.
Yeah, I thank the troopers that stopped me when I went through it Saturday.
Yeah. And you know, there's a couple other statewide initiatives that we're looking at, and you know, so we'll team up and see where it fit. So.
I heard some good things in the community. They were happy that you guys did that, so I'll pass that along.
Yeah. And one of our meetings, my meetings down here, I ran into four or five sheriffs across the street, and they had said that they were more confident with the new sheriff, and that he was doing a lot for Philmont, which he is. I mean, him and the new under sheriff have been right on the ball when it comes to Philmont.
As you all are aware, they provided us, you know, I asked, I received a supply of Narcan, you know, for that, you know, instance. Anything that I've requested through the sheriff, we have. We're getting ready to schedule some of our upcoming trainings that we have to do. So, you know, basically all on board. There's a lot of things that they're putting into place, and they are including, you know, all the part-time agencies again to get us back on board. So big cost savings for us as well.
How much did you get? Because we got to buy ours.
You have to buy your Narcan. You shouldn't have to. If you go down to Greener Pathways, they will give you some. But we've got, I mean, I could probably give you a couple boxes.
It's all nasal,
just
right?
To get over, just to hold you over. But I only took 8 for now.
Okay.
Which there's two doses per box.
All right. So get a hold of Carl then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They said through Greener Pathways, they'll get some. And actually, you know what? The chief in Chatham, he told me he can get me some too. So if you just let me know,
okay.
Just let me know what you want. I'll reach out to Joe.
Whatever you can spare.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll get them for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
One thing.
Yes.
When I was approaching, I thought you had a drug bust going on, so that's why I stopped. And I was gonna turn around because I didn't want to interfere. And then I know you probably would have came after me. So it might be good to have somebody further up just to wave people on. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's okay to come in here because you know, I looked down there and you had your lights going on, the troopers had their lights going on. I'm saying, holy shit, you know, I didn't hear anything on the scan. I'm saying, what the hell is going on?
We had, you know? But if like, and what happens is you're focusing on us, but there were on both ends,
yeah,
police checkpoint signs, like, you know, ahead. So it was telling the, you know, the individuals. So, yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you stopped. I was actually laughing. I said, well, here's Larry. I said, he's
and I didn't have my seatbelt on either. That's why I stopped. I put it on.
I'm trying to wave you on, but we had individuals that just even try to drive right on through.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of, you know, jump out. But we'll take that into consideration, yeah. Make sure.
And I got two complaints today about our four-wheelers that are going down Main Street again.
I received photos. We're on that.
Okay. I figured you were.
You got the from the citizen that I asked to send them to you.
Correct. We got them. We got some information, got some times and everything else. So that's next order of business. We'll
It's just a matter of time before you hit somebody or there's an accident.
Or gets it, right.
Or gets it, right.
Totally agree.
Thank you.
You gonna do Sally's report?
I can do Sally's report. Report, I'm just gonna do the summary and a little bit on it. Report summary submitted by Sally Baker. Attended the BOA co-chair standing meeting with Mayor Johnson and trustee Ostrander, Barbara Segal. Chair of the Aquamic Creek Watershed Management Plan was out of town, not in attendance. Reviewed letter of interest from Karen DeValla to join the Heritage Working Group. Reported the quarterly flyer for the Village Philmont Historic District will go out in the April water bill. And PBI and Heritage Working Group will start a village dot survey outside of the post office at the library on Saturday mornings. First date, April 2nd, they were there. Mark Roundtree led a sub-area one working group, joined the meeting to show the mayor the community center presentation, which is available on PB Inc.'s website for Philmont Rising BOA projects. Reviewed the summary notes of the LWRP-WAC meeting held on 3/19/22, waiting on DOS approval before they can be posted on the village website. Reviewed the updated Watershed Advisory Committee, WAC, listed. There are now 13 members, including all participating towns from Clarick, Ghent, Hillsdale, Auslitz, and local organization. BOA grant updates, continued work on community outreach with Mark Roundtree aimed at increasing participation by community members to send letters of interest to the BOA committee to join the Sub-Area 1 working group to participate in the community center BOA project aimed at new designs for the center and playground. First quarter BOA grant meeting has been submitted to the DOS. LWRP grant watershed management plan updates. Working on a request received from the DOS for a budget amendment and work plan. Amendment relating to task 10 in the work plan for the natural resource inventory involving changing the description and scope of work and task 11 in the work plan related to assessment and the ability of local laws and programs to implement best management practices to protect water quality in progress. PBI met with DOS project manager for a site review of Summit Lake and existing conditions. Thank you to the Vanderbilt Lakeside for allowing us to access their garden for this review of the lake. First quarter LWRP grant reporting has been submitted to the DOS. That's it.
Thank you.
Dave?
DPW report, we've been doing our garbage recycling. Tax Barber take our sweeper to the transmission shop in Caro. I'll talk to you about that tomorrow, Brian. Been working on other trucks. We rented a sweeper from Canada. The streets are now done. Noticed last week in between raindrops and during the rain. Spring cleaning has been going on. We got the greens, memorials, and some of the other parks been picked up. And that assisted the water and sewer department reading water meters and picking up at the sewer plant for inspection. Removed the scoreboard and bleachers at the ball field. So a little bit of minor work down there. Had a nice egg down at the ball field because of drag wires in the pole. They're gonna get back in touch with me on that and then get the rest of the stuff done down here. Met with the engineer from the Woods Project with Brian and Doug concerning some of our major concerns. And Doug and I went up to Forest Lake to check the dam out. Just happens that there was 2.5 inches of rain the night before, so we'll have to go back up. And I mean, things are looking all right though right now. Water sewer, took samples for BEC Health Department, all passed. We had our annual inspection on Friday, seemed to go good. Did flow reports for BEC, turned the Parkway water off. Still assisting the contractor with some stuff down to the plant, assisted the contractor with a leak up here in 217. Had a sewer blockage on Martindale Road. Had water shut offs for non payment. Home stuff. Prepared for DET inspection. Meeting generator people for the lift station. Brian got that paperwork tonight. I think Trish gave you all the paperwork. So, working with Smith's Control for a dialer system for the lifts. Station, it's a DEC mandate. Repairing the repair. We just got the stuff last week to replace the fire hydrant, repair the fire hydrant that's on the base of Summit Street that got hit by the car.
What's the water bleeder on the parkway?
What's the water bleeder? It's for the line that goes out to Forest Lake, back out to Forest Lake. We bleed that line during the winter so it doesn't freeze. Keeps
it's
the water
above
moving.
The ground, so it's going
to freeze. There's a section that's above the ground, close to the ground, so we keep that.
Why do we have a line going back out to Forest Lake?
Because we had houses that were on there.
Oh, okay. And so they weren't picking up the water on the way in there. We were feeding them back from here.
No, they used to be on it before.
That's what I thought.
And then now, once they were on it, they still have to stay on it, so you have to push it back to them.
Okay.
That's a mandate.
So they're still not there?
What's
the
that?
Houses are still there?
Yeah.
And you take the houses down there.
We go all the way to Forest Lake.
So how do we stop it from freezing then?
We open up the bleeder.
Oh, and that keeps it.
That keeps it moving.
That keeps it moving.
Close,
I got you.
Where it's close to the top
okay.
of the ground.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
And what are the generator bits? Where's the generator?
Where's that generator going? Lift station up on top of Summit Street. Mm-hmm. Right at the intersection of.
That's making a funny noise.
It growls.
Yeah, it growls.
Yeah.
I never used to.
You got to use a little more.
I'll flush twice then. How's that?
I'll stop up tomorrow. Sometimes it's been running a little bit longer than what it. We just cleaned the valves.
Okay. Because I never heard it come on
before. Sometimes it sounds like a.
What the hell is that?
Mayor's report. Biggest thing this month was the budget. It all went well. We had a few meetings on that. Doug and I met with the WIS people. I think that was productive. At least they figured out what we wanted. I've been working with David down at the sewer plant. And every other thing that comes along. Doug?
Okay. Well, I want to start off, as in the past month, I want to thank the voters who came out and voted. I had a call for kids on the library roof. Attended the planning board meeting as a citizen to see what was going on. Met, like Brian said, we met with the developer, engineer, Dave Sider, and so on. Let them know what we wanted. We haven't gotten any feedback on some of those things, though, but I'm sure we will. Attended the budget workshops, budget hearing, and the organizational meeting. I went to an event where Daphne Jordan was honored, and that was good. I talked to her a little bit about some of our film on issues. I was very busy for her, so I didn't get to talk to her too long, but good to keep her, have her keep us in mind. She did say, Brian, don't forget I'm still your senator until January 1st. So we can still call her even though she might, the lines have been moved.
She got realigned.
The lines were moved. So she's not, well, of course, it's in court now.
Okay.
So we don't know. Like Gabe said, we met at the sewer plant. I was there for the DEC inspection. It seemed to me, I'm not an expert on the sewer plant, but everything seemed good. He was very happy. I saw him checking all the paperwork that Dave and Cliff do, checking the whole operation over, and Sager had all the answers. Everything was good. So that was nice to hear. And he also liked the progress on the new disinfection system, too. Dave and I did check the dams right after that big storm. I taught at the community center on Saturday. That was fun. That was the birdhouse program. It was an unusual one because we had no males show up for the program. There was five little girls, and two of them brought their own tools and safety glasses and the whole thing. They were cute. And there was three women who came and built birdhouses too. But no boys, no men. But thanks, Monty and Julie, for helping me, because it's hard to keep track of everybody. And I had to fill in for Brian while he was on vacation, but doesn't seem like the mayor really had to do anything.
We just didn't call you much.
It's because I had everything taken care of.
It was all under control.
Put your phone on call forwarding.
Jason?
Spent most of the month working on, we had about 2 weeks to write that grant for the library, the Thursday field trip, so we'll know about that in the next couple of weeks, but like I said, it's 5 separate field trips for the youth of Philmont and Clover, and it should be 100% paid if we get it. I did go visit the complainant about the chicken stuff. I went and visited and asked the people to do something about the chickens, so I'll see if that, just for the heck of it, if they're going to deal with it. And we've been working on a convention, and Larry's been working, continually working hard for this huge event that's going to happen here in a couple months. And that's about it for me.
Thanks. Larry?
Went to the budget workshops, and I think we all worked together very well and asked a lot of good questions, and I addressed a lot of things that maybe weren't touched in a while. So I congratulate everybody on that. I think we did a really good job with that. Went to the BOA meeting with Sally and Brian, as read before, and helped Trish out somewhat with the issue that was presented to us today with the garbage issue. And I had the fire chief's report, annual report to read. April 6, 2021 to April 3rd, 2022, we had one structure fire in the village, responded to 4 mutual aid structure fires, 4 brush fires, 1 chimney fire, 8 burnt food, 3 smoke investigations, 3 cellar pump outs, 3 water emergencies, 3 gas emergencies, 5 carbon monoxide calls, 6 tree and wires, 3 property damage, auto accidents, 5 personal injury, auto accidents, 97 EMS calls, 8 echo level calls, which is cardiac arrest, 5 EMS lift assist, 11 EMS standby calls, 1 landing zone helicopter setup call, 9 good intent calls, and 33 false alarms. Total calls, 214. We had 28 drills for totaling 448 hours, 11 truck inspections, 27 work details, 49 activities, fire school classes, apparatus attended by members, apparatus pump, emergency vehicle operations, interior firefighter OPS, fire ground strategies and tactics for arriving companies. Total hours attended, 179. EMS classes, EMT basic and CPR classes. Total hours, 180.
Deborah?
Like Doug, I want to thank the voters. I think we had a good turnout in an uncontested year. And like, I attended the planning board meeting and also the budget workshop and organizational meeting. And like Larry, I thought it went well. I added open positions on the website for the planning and zoning board openings, 1 on the planning board and 2 on the zoning board. And I helped draft the RFQ for the grant writer and a questionnaire. And also I want to say that we did receive the final $26,250 for the CEC grant, and now that is done and closed out. We received that on March 16th. And I created a draft application for getting interested volunteers for the potentially updating the comprehensive plan.
You didn't put that out yet?
Didn't, because I want to go over it with you.
All right. I'd like to get that out.
Yeah. And maybe the RFQ for the grant writer, too. Let's talk about how to do that. Okay. Done.
All right. Thank you. Correspondence list is provided to the board and the public. There's a list on the table someplace, and the hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to accept as warrant the tax levy amount of $537,120 and a tax rate of $6.39 per thousand of assessed value, amounting to an overall $1.31 per thousand decrease, as passed at the annual budget hearing held on April 1st, 2022, made by?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Kevin Crowley and Nabal Camacho to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as members, made by?
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to increase the pay rate for the Community Center Director, Julie Baranese, to $18 an hour and a 50-cent increase for Community Center staff, Deb Graw and Monty Jennings, effective June 1st, made by?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to raise the amount paid to the Philmont Rod and Gun Club from $100 a month to $200 a month for the purpose of storage of the village police cars, made by?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to accept the slate of fire company officers as submitted, which was very nice of Mr. Blau to get this to me. I really didn't expect to see him. I told him we could do it next month, but he'd still stop by and bother to me.
Yeah.
Chief Mark Beaumont, First Assistant Chief Brian Ostrander, Second Assistant Chief Kevin Graw, Captain Chris Morehouse, First Lieutenant Chris Carlson, Second Lieutenant Mark Roundtree, made by?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And that's all I've got.
Unfinished business?
Do we have to vote on, oh, we do that in the two fire department people, or does that happen?
We just did.
Oh. I thought the new volunteers.
No, it was the second motion. It's kind of hard to tell.
Gotcha.
Motion to appoint.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We did that.
Okay. I have things that might qualify as new or old. I'm not sure. It's mostly a question about...
Well, if we wait a little bit, it'll be old.
Okay. it's mostly a question about what to put out on the website. There was a memo here about the Claverack Solar Program. Solarize Claverack. Are you guys aware of this program or how it operates? This is another action on the Climate Smart community actions, and Claverack sort of jumped into the breach and passed this. And so this means that anyone who wants can opt in to get, any residents, can opt in to get solar energy as opposed to other kinds of energy. And I believe, we'll have to ask Tom, but I think we are in communication with John Bradley about maybe, if a certain number of Philmont residents sign up, we might get a certain percentage of any, I don't know, recognition there is for doing that, whether it's monetary or what, I'm not sure. But he's asked for our help in putting the information out on the website. And I guess my questions are, can I do up a big post on this and promote it? it's a choice. You can opt in, and I feel people should have the information.
Is it a private business, though, that's making money off this transaction?
Solarize Club it. I think that, you know what, I haven't actually looked into it. They said that the solar providers, it's Neighborhood Sun and Nexamp.
Those are the companies that make them, I guess, right?
Those are the ones providing the solar.
Do you have an opinion on that, Rob?
Yeah, the county's overlaying any community that hasn't done it, like Stuyvesant hasn't done it, and they're using Nextamp and Astral Power. Village Kinderhook that I represent, they're already doing it and promoting it. I actually got a mailer at my house from Nextamp trying to get me to sign up if I wanted to. So I don't see any problem with it. It's part of the Climate Smart initiatives. The concerns were raised, Jason, that, you know, are they making money on it?
Yeah.
It's basically they're doing the programs, and you're making information available to residents, so there isn't any. You're not buying anything, so there's not procurement. Yeah. Some supervisors had concerns. Is there a kickback here?
Yeah.
Because there was a claim that the Nextamp was going to give $100 per customer that signed up to the municipality.
Uh-huh.
They kind of didn't really groove on that idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's been vetted.
Yeah, and the municipalities are just getting credit through the Climate Smart communities.
Through the Climate Smart credits towards their bronze or whatever criterion they were trying to ascertain. So yeah, I don't see any issues.
And they pay for the mailer, right?
Yeah, it was completely next stamp. It just says the Village of Philmont has made this, or the Town of Clawbrook has made this available to you.
What issues are you having, Trish, with solar companies you mentioned in your report?
We've been going back and forth with GMES sent us invoices, and that's fine because we did the whole RNM agreement and everything else, and they've outlined which accounts they're doing through the 555 account, I call it. But then we received more invoices, so I'm working on breaking those down because I need to see which it needs to come from, either water, sewer, or general.
Does this come back from when we were Monolith?
Right.
Okay.
Because unfortunately now they've taken over for Monolith.
Okay.
So we need to break it down. And then Sunlight General sent us an invoice also, and I said, hey, what are you invoicing us for? We have no credits. And then the attorney and I went back and forth a couple times, and then he said, let me check on that. So he's working on, he may not have outlined what he needed to do. So we may have to do that one also. That's the short of it.
Okay, I understand. I thought it was related to Monolith from the past, though.
Yeah, it's because Monolith split into solar, Sunlight Solar, and GMES.
Okay.
So Trish is doing a good job tracking that, and it hasn't been done for years, so.
Because that's always my concern with these solar companies, is that they promise you one thing and then it doesn't happen. Or they promise you a rate and then 2 years go by and then, bam, it goes up way past what you could just get it from last year.
And I think going through the programs, NextStamp is a, they don't do the, you get credits 1 month and you pay the utility and then you get credits. So the homeowner doesn't have to, they won't get in our Monolith situation.
Right.
They actually give a direct credit on the bill.
And actually, Chelsea at GMES said we haven't used those credits yet. She said we won't see them probably till May of using the back credits.
Well, thank you for keeping on it.
No problem. Yeah. I wasn't going to pay them if they hadn't given us the...
I like that.
Thank you. Yeah.
I have one thing under unfinished. Are we going to do anything with the fiber optic, or are we just going to let it ride until they switch us over? It doesn't matter to me what we do, it's just that we spent time on it, so I want to know what we're doing with it.
I thought your consensus was that Mid-Hudson will collect money from you or grant or seek grants, but it's probably most feasible just to let them run the course and do
it. Well, that would be my thing, but it's not that important to me, so.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I guess if there were resources, meaning people and energy, to go after grants and work with them, I'm focusing on other things right now, so it's not my priority.
All right, so I'm good with that, then I'll just drop that one. New business.
I got one, old business. Have we heard from Habitat for Humanity, where they're at, what they're doing?
No, because they're backlogged just like everybody else. It's their property. They can do with what they want.
I didn't know if they had, you know, submitted plans yet. Or
there was one in Hillsdale. They were getting that done before they were even.
Yeah. And there's been a change in management, so who knows what's happening now.
And they're paying the tax on the vacant land.
Yep.
Eagle Street.
Right. I was trying to think if they were tax exempt, but that's all.
No, they're not.
Okay.
I have a couple more.
Because that kind of addresses our, in a smaller scale, some of our affordable housing issues that we have.
Mm-hmm. If you're done on that topic, I don't know that you are. Rob, do you have any updates or know anything about community choice aggregation and how that's being used these days? Because the one thing I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention is that now Athens has implemented, they've saved the residents about $140 a year, I think. And as Karen was saying, fuel prices are doubling with what's going on in Ukraine. So I just wonder what our responsibility is. I'm not sure what we should do. I appreciate, you know, taking the conservative approach and wait and see, but I also worry about not doing something that might really benefit our residents. And I'd want to know Rob, what you know about.
Village Canterhook did become a community choice aggregate community, but they were pretty independent. I honestly don't know much about it. I'll see if I can pull up their, what they passed.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking it'd be interesting to see, because in August Athens is up for renewal, and let's see what the rates come in. People have been in it for 2 years. I mean, August isn't that far away.
Okay.
That was my take on it.
That's a good plan.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, so check back in August. Another thing was just a question about the chicken things. Does it make sense to have a law like that just regulates chickens and applies really steep fines if you let your chickens out?
I mean, we have laws in the books right now. You know,
there are laws in the books. Yeah. And I'll give you my take on that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this. But I know a mayor of maybe a fictitious village that has a neighbor who has chickens and doesn't say anything because the chickens don't bother him. They keep track of their chickens. But what our chicken law does, it gives the neighbors who are offended by the chickens teeth.
Yep.
So they can, if you let your chickens run all over their yard, they can come to the village office and say, chickens in my yard, I don't want them there, and I don't need them there. So, gotcha. And they shouldn't have to have them there. So we have a law in the books, and the building inspector can go up and deal with the chickens.
Okay. Well, don't we also have a law in the books that technically there shouldn't be a live chicken in the village?
Exactly, we do.
So,
but I know that this mayor was approached by his neighbor and didn't have any problem with it because they take care of their stuff. So if the neighbors don't have a problem with it, I don't have a problem with it. But if the neighbors got a problem with it, then we have a law in the books that says that they can get it taken care of.
That makes sense.
And that's how I left it with these folks. It was like a neighborly visit. Hey, man, Jason Dad's on the trustee. I don't know what's going on, but here's what I heard. And then I told the complainant to call me back in a week and let me know how it goes. And then if you have teeth, we can use them.
Yeah.
It made sense to me.
It's something that we can handle. We don't need to make a big deal out of things. We just, we'll handle it.
I'm with you.
We still have a rooster on Prospect Street.
I've been looking for it. I've been there twice.
I can go right to it.
I went down there twice.
And when I opened my windows.
Right across from Brian's house.
In the summer.
I don't know where Brian's house is actually.
On the corner of Prospect and New Street.
Someone told me he's on New. There's a brown trailer there. I couldn't find this trailer.
The trailer's gone.
It's right behind their garage.
Okay. I've been looking for it.
Yeah.
Right where the deer walk.
They have it hidden, but you can hear it.
Well, I'm gonna be.
And like, you know, I feel sorry for his son because he works weird hours and the thing is noisy.
No, no one should have a rooster.
I can hear it all the way over
there. I know, roosters should not.
And then we have a law against that, so we can get it taken care of.
There you go.
I'll be happy to say something.
Yep.
Can Trish send out that RFQ for the grant writer list of grant writer people?
Yep.
Okay, and then lastly, would it make sense for me to put something on the website about, you know, our intentions with the short-term rental regulation and why?
Not till after the meeting.
Okay. There won't be much time between that and the hearing.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
No, the hearing's not till June.
Oh, right. June when?
It'll be a regular board meeting if we can get it.
The June board meeting. Okay.
We've got to wait 30 days at least, right?
Yeah, you got to give county planning 30 days. They've been commenting on it.
Plenty enough time to see it.
Yep. Sounds good. I'm done.
As far as garbage stuff goes, I'll full report to you guys at the workshop or the meeting we have this morning. With a flyer and everything, we can hammer it out.
Good. Before we go into executive session, I'd like a moment of silence for one of our former firefighters, past trustee, former Longwood resident, Bill Block. I need a motion to go into executive session.
Motion?
Can you tell us the reason? To keep it legal, please?
Yeah, to discuss the contractual water sewer agreement with the Pine Haven addition.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Good enough.
Thank you.
I didn't know.
And we are out of executive session.
Fifth, I'm sorry.
I'm going to make a motion that we accept half the payment from Pine Haven now.
Upon signature.
Upon signature.
Agreement, and half when it becomes operational.
Correct. Not project completed, operational. Make sure you clarify that.
Do you need a second?
I need a second.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yay.
Larry's opposed. All right, motion's passed. I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're done.
Good night, Elmont.